Committee for West Salem Redevelopment Advisory Board. Good weather today, and it's supposed to rain, so hopefully you get out and enjoy it for a few hours. With that, if you could please take a roll, that would be great.
Okay, Jeff Miller.
Here.
Mark May.
Here.
Ashley Moray.
Here.
Jeremy Mackay, absent. John Hannum, absent. Jason Stats.
Here.
Samantha Ross.
Here.
Mark Smith.
Here.
And Tom Crozier.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, well, good morning, everyone, again. Just real quickly, has everyone had an opportunity to look over the agenda? And if so, I will entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move.
Jason, I thought I saw your lips say it, but you were.
I know, I had my mic muted, so Mark gets it.
Would you mind seconding then? Okay, Mark seconds, okay.
I can't second my own.
So, Mark?
I'll second.
Perfect, thank you. Any discussion for the good of order? Moving on, perfect, so it's all in favor, please say aye. Or wait your hand.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? No. Thank you. How about the minutes? Does anyone have an opportunity to read through the minutes or listen to the minutes? Samantha did, I know it.
I move to approve as submitted.
Thank you, Mark. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Tom. So there's a motion to approve. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okey-dokey, moving on. No action items, so we do have a guest today, which I'm always being listening to what's going on downtown. Sheree is going to be here, and Tori is going to, we're going to do a little downtown conversation. We're here in the urban renewal area downtown. So with that, Sheree, do you want to jump in with your introduction for those who don't know you? And welcome again. Happy to see you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to share information on what is happening within the downtown riverfront urban renewal area. I want to make this meaningful for you. So before I get started on what I want to share, I want to know if you have anything specific you would like for me to be sure and cover during my discussion with you this morning.
Well, look, I'll just jump in. I'm not seeing anyone else. I'm trying to give anyone else a shot first, but I would like to just kind of hear your perspective. I'm sure you're going to cover all these things, Sheree, but specifically to the Nordstrom's project, which is now going to be the apartment complex, as well as maybe if there's anything going on with Liberty Plaza. I know that they're now marketing that for lease, and there's a lot of vacancy in that building. I'm wondering about that. And then along the waterfront, there's been rumor for quite a while regarding 901 Front Street being redeveloped into seniors housing, and I'm wondering if you knew anything about that as well. So that would be something from the commercial real estate brokerage side. Just love hearing about them. Frankly, I already know quite a bit about it, but I think it'd be a good thing to talk about for everyone else. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And again, when I get through, if after I've shared what I want to share with you, you have a question or you want more information, feel free to ask me then. So, the first thing I want to say is how excited I am that you've been selected for ULI to come and spend time in your URA area and explore ideas for redevelopment. I think that will just be a really amazing opportunity for you, and I look forward to seeing what comes out of that and having Tori come back to the Downtown Advisory Board to share the information that's come out of that. So you may not know, but the Downtown Advisory Board wears two hats. One of them is to recommend, like you do, to the Urban Renewal Agency Board projects through the budget process to be funded with riverfront urban renewal monies. They also then put on a hat and speak to council in regards to the parking district, the three parking garages that we have, and the parking fund associated with that. So DAB is a little bit different than other urban areas in that they talk to the agency board about riverfront, and they talk to the council about parking. So right now, the advisory board's high priority project is downtown streetscape. Agency board approved a design standard for downtown, and each year when we look at the budget, that's what DAB wants to make sure is funded. They decided on that project because it doesn't just benefit a property owner, it benefits all property owners in downtown, all businesses, visitors, pedestrians, vehicles driving by. So they really prioritize making sure that they have money for just every year continuing to do streetscape. It's going to be done in phases, and I don't think we'll get through it until like 10 or 11 years in the future because we have so many blocks down here. They're all unique, but again, that's the priority. When we have a new project underway, we try to work with that developer to get them to implement the new design standards as part of their project too, or we try to come in and do what we can to get that implemented. But that's our high priority project, and that would be each year when we look at our budget, that would be the first thing that we would want to fund. And typically the second thing, probably similar to what you have, is making sure that we have funds in our grant program so that if an opportunity comes up, like the Nordstrom's building, we have money that we can consent their redevelopment. And so we always keep quite a bit of money in our grant program line item to support that. So for us, streetscape is defined as the building front out to the curb, and a majority of the work is done underground. You will definitely see on the top a consistent look and feel with larger tree wells, enhanced landscaping, but a big part of wanting to do it was to get upgraded electrical infrastructure so that at some point, if we get pedestrian lights throughout downtown, we can have twinkle lights for the holidays. Downtown is unable to do twinkle lights because we don't have the electrical infrastructure. If we put more than three strings of light back to back, it pops, shorts out. And each year when I get complaints about why don't we light up downtown, a lot of it is tied to the infrastructure because it's very old in downtown. So again, the goal would be to put, you know, the headlights in where we don't have headlights, to put in infrastructure with them, to have banners because we don't have a consistent looking building of banners in downtown, to have water, to do irrigation around the landscaping, and let's see, and fiber optic in case we needed it in the future. So again, streetscape for us has been a high priority, and I think Tori shared with me that's something that you guys are looking at in West Salem also. So just know that that's a very exciting project that I think you'll really appreciate. I'm going to say the challenge of streetscape is urban renewal funds pay for the building of it. They do not pay for the ongoing maintenance. So I'm already challenged with a lot of the new landscaping has been destroyed by pets. The more housing we get in downtown, a lot of residents have pets. So I'm seeing the challenges of pets and the condition of the landscaping areas and just ongoing funds to keep them trimmed and weeded. So just food for thought when you're thinking about streetscape. Your monies can build it, but then you need to have a fund to maintain it. So, second priority for DAB was they put their hat on to council. They want support to move forward with implementing paid on-street parking in downtown. The parking fund is supported by a tax that the businesses pay for in downtown and permit revenue from people who park in the parkades. the model has been broken for a very long time, and it doesn't have sufficient funds to really operate the district. So it would be great if the users of the on-street parking spaces carried the burden of the use of that space, not the businesses. So stay tuned to see if that's something that moves forward after we get through the election and a new mayor and new city manager and the bond discussions through. I'm hoping then it will be something that council will let staff explore moving forward with. The third thing that you're going to see happening this summer would be we're going to two-way Court Street like we did State Street. Again, we're limited to the boundary of which our funds can be used. So you'll see a two-way, you know, commercial, because it's already two-way in that little area between commercial and front, but it would continue up to church. So again, we can't go beyond that because our money doesn't go beyond our boundary, but you're going to be seeing that happen. And of course, right now, we're on our third phase of streetscape. It's on Court and Commercial, and we're designing for our fourth stage of it. So, like the what's happening, going back to you, Jeff, in downtown, and then I'll broaden it because you asked about kind of north of downtown redevelopment also. So, unfortunately, as you know, we lost Nordstrom's, we lost Penny's, we lost TJ Maxx. We also had the former Wells Fargo building at 280 Liberty demolished, and Liberty Plaza has basically had Tipton's, one tenant upstairs, for years. And then Salem Center, because of the changes in online shopping, COVID, it suffered too with loss of, they have more vacancy than they've had in the past. So we were on a roll, everything was going really good, and then we had major retailers leave and we had COVID. But with that comes those opportunities. So the Nordstrom's building was bought, and at first they were going to redevelop it, but based on financial feasibility, it makes more sense to take it down. So you will see today, this week, they put the fencing up last week. This week you'll see docking vehicles and a lot of mobilization happening for docking to take down that building. So I anticipate that will be down before the within the next 30 days. And Salem Center at the same time will be taking down the sky bridge between Salem Center and Nordstrom's. So very excited about that. Again, very little bit of retail on the ground floor, a little bit of parking on site, because in downtown you don't need one-to-one parking. If you build a housing unit anymore, you don't need any parking if you build a housing unit downtown. So they have very little parking on the property, but that will be happening really, really soon. As Jeff said, Liberty Plaza, just recently the owner changed brokers. It's my understanding the new brokers have put together a very aggressive plan for the property owners to get that building leased up. The upstairs really is ready to go. All the spaces up there for office, it's just a matter of getting tenants in it. The ground floor is another subject. For whatever the reason, the escalator was removed from the ground floor, so if you go in there, it looks, well, there's really no words for what it looks like. It's kind of this big hole in the kind of main area, holes in the wall. They have an elevator that obviously serves the upper floors, but I think that the property owner has really kind of re-energized and made a commitment to move forward and get that building leased up versus selling it. It was for sale or for lease, and I think they made the decision that they're going to lease it up and they have a new broker. So I don't know of any, I know they're working on somebody for the lower level, Jeff, but I don't know who it is. But again, the good news is that I saw Salem sign there this week. They're taking off all the old signs for businesses who haven't been there forever. And so hopefully they're going to reinvigorate and unload the building. I think they were thinking about housing, possibly converting it, but they decided to, no, just have it be office and retail on the ground floor. So let's see. And as you know, Kohl's is complete. That's the new 148-unit, very small micro unit housing project at State and Commercial. It was 100% leased, way in advance of all the leasing observers and projections.
I'm sorry, what was the name of that?
Pardon?
What was the name of that? Kohl's?
It's Kohl's, K-O-Z, on State. Some may know it as an Ishioka building. It kind of has both names.
Thank you.
And then just right down the sidewalk, because it's closed right now, is the Holman Hotel, which is under construction, and that's going to be a Hilton Regency-style hotel with 129 rooms and probably a restaurant or two in it, and that's supposed to open in 2023. Marquee was doing its, started its rehab project there just on the north side of Pringle Creek, but it's stalled out right now due to, I think, increased construction costs, and so they're reevaluating, bringing that back up. But anyway, it is proposed in that location. Kinney's was purchased, and the new owner gutted the first floor, and I think shared with the community that his goal was to convert that first floor into smaller retail spaces with their own entrances off the sidewalk. He removed, I don't know, probably Jeff, you know what it's called, but in the Penny's building, if you looked in the window on Liberty Street, you couldn't see into the space. They had like window wells or display wells. So all that's gone. So if you're on the sidewalk and it didn't have paper, you can see all the way in, which will really make a difference for the pedestrians walking around it. But the last time I talked to him, because he calls all the time, he is kind of holding off on doing a lot more marketing because he wanted to make sure that the nurseries building actually was going to happen. So now that it is, I'm hoping that will reinvigorate or give him confidence to move forward with his leasing strategy. Let's see. I have heard nothing on a moving forward with something at where I call it the pit, but where Wells Fargo was. And as far as Salem Center, it was for sale. They had lots of offers on it and went through due diligence with at least two, but they pulled it off the market. And my assumption for that is they probably didn't get the price they wanted. And with the Nordstrom's building moving forward, I think they wanted to see if, in fact, having all those residents next to their property, if they could generate them maybe restaurant users and maybe get the value up. I think they're also maybe thinking about housing, which would be interesting, that those buildings certainly have the bones to add housing units to them. So hopefully something will be happening all at the same time. And I know that the former TJ Maxx space, they have a potential tenant. That individual has been in here several times asking about our financial incentives to try to see if it makes financial sense for him to do that. So that would be really great because that would, between that and Nordstrom's and then Kinney's, that would really help the northern part of downtown. Unfortunately, Jeff, I can't tell you who it is for the TJ Maxx space, but if it happens, you will know because I know how the brokerage community works. If you haven't been downtown lately, we have some new businesses. The Cozy Tavern or Restaurant opened in the alleys close to Rudy's. And Bar 3 is on the ground floor of that Coast building that I mentioned at State and Commercial. And I can tell you, because I get here like between 4:30 and 5 in the morning and I do a walk around downtown, that place is hopping. with people taking those classes early in the morning. We also have Legacy Coffee, which is in the former Sunshine Cafe space. Chronic Tacos is nearing completion and should be opening. And then last summer, you probably saw that we had, because of COVID, allowed the use of on-street parking spaces for expanded outdoor dining because restaurants were limited to how many patrons they could have, diners, at any one time. So in support of restaurants, food and beverage restaurants, council allowed them to put tents up all around downtown to help with expanded outdoor dining. So as of October, those tents all had to come down, and we came up with a design standard for platforms. And so there was a process that if a restaurant wanted to utilize on-street parking spaces, you can't put a tent or just tables with barricades in them. You have to build a platform and have the platform meet the city's design standards. There's licensing that you have to get, and there's fees that you pay for the spaces that you take offline. Again, because in the parking district, businesses are paying for those spaces to be available for their customers. So there's it's not a lot, but there's a fee associated with removal of those spaces. They can only have a maximum of 4 spaces. The businesses have to be open for at least 2 meals a day, 5 days a week. So there are other requirements if you're going to remove on-street parking spaces. But right now we have 2. Kitchen on Court has 1, and Benty's has 1. Bull and Vine, I think, is going to move forward with 1, and Noble Wave. So again, something new and different in downtown. Any questions so far? Okay. So Jeff, 901 has been able to pull permits and start for a very long period of time. I don't know why they haven't started with their assisted living memory care, because they had everything in for years and should be ready to go. I know that 910 Front Street, which is very close to that, the former, we call it the Ice Box building. I know that was recently purchased, and they came through with the pre-app actually to do phased housing mixed use. So I think that would be very exciting. 50 units to start, I think, is what they're proposing. And then see after that, after they see how that goes, they may do more because of their location there to get in the view of the water and stuff. So there is activity going, you know, there is interest in that area that we haven't seen in the past, because that ice building has been vacant for years. So I think that's all I had, unless you have, again, specific questions about specific buildings. I can share what I know, but I don't know if I know everything.
Really quickly, if you wouldn't mind updating what the next steps would be with the Mission, old Mission building.
So the agency owns the 13 sites, including we bought ABC Music's building. We're going through a replat right now to make that into 3 lots. The advisory boards come up with the objectives for what they would like to see there, and we shared that with the agency board. Because some of those buildings are historic, I'm waiting to have the recommendation on what would need to be salvaged in order to move forward with completing my demolition bid. But the goal is to get those buildings down as soon as I can process what I need to process to do that. The goal is to have a mix of uses there, that the project be, you know, catalytic, that it be green, that it brings jobs. Of course, everybody wants a grocery store. That comes up. I think people want a grocery store in the Penny's building. People wanted the grocery store in Liberty Plaza. They don't have a grocery store except for Safeway at Center Street. So we'll see if that particular site is identified by a developer as a good location for a grocery store. Obviously, we have the parking right across the street. Parking is always an issue with the grocery store. But the board knows better than to say we want a yoga or something. They want to allow the visionary of the developer to bring to the table what they would like to see there. Obviously, it's in such a key location to exposure to everybody coming over the bridge, just kind of like the Rite Aid site is. And the Rite Aid site has been like the number one site for redevelopment forever because it has all that parking and the visibility. But unfortunately, that particular tenant, Rite Aid, of course, Jeff probably knows this better than me. It looks like whatever the terms of their lease are, they kind of control what happens at that site until they decide that's the wrong location they want to be in. So we have a great site. And again, the goal is to put it out for redevelopment. I think that if we could get some affordable housing in there, that might be part of the criteria for redevelopment. It could be we carve off one of the lots and look at the housing authority to do some affordable housing for us, but we're not there. Yeah. Thanks, Tori, for that. I forgot to add that one. I'm just so up to my eyeballs in that project, I forget to share it with other people.
I just had a question, and you might have already gone over this. The dirt in front of the, it's right across from the Goose and across from City of Salem. It's on that corner. What is that, Trade?
That's where the Marquee project is proposed, the rehabilitation center. So if you broke your hip and you needed, you know, time to work with somebody for rehab and you don't have anybody at home, you could go into a rehab center. People that have head injuries that can't just go home, but they don't need to be in the hospital, that level of care, they go into a rehab facility. That's what's proposed there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So just real quickly, going back to the former UGM property that and maybe you said it and I missed it, are you going out for an RFP? You're asking for request for proposals? And what is that timeline or has it already begun as far as putting that out there for people to submit plans or ideas?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do probably an RFQ versus an RFP, and I didn't say RFP, but I think I'll do an RFQ, which is a request for qualifications. So I'll put that out as soon as I know when the demo is going to start and get completed. I will develop that, and then again, it would go out and be available to anybody that wanted to turn around and say that they have the qualifications and a vision for that site, and then we would turn around and develop some kind of a development agreement with that particular developer and then move forward with them.
But not a real timeline yet is what I'm hearing.
Again, I wish I could give you a defined timeline, but again, it's interesting because over the last couple of years, I've received a lot of inquiries from developers who are interested in making sure that I let them know when we're going out for that solicitation. So I already have a pool of people that are interested in looking at redeveloping that site. I can have Tori bring it back to you, Jeff, as soon as I know when I can engage a contractor to do the demolition. I will probably immediately turn around and get the RFQ out.
Gotcha. And will this also include the parcel on the west side of the alley? So instead of just the regular rectangle, I thought at one time Saffron also owned.
Yeah, it's 13 lots. So you're going to have Emerson, if I'm on Chumacada, Emerson owns the property at Front and Chumacada. And then Bill Putney owns the two condos. And then there's the alley. And so east of the alley, we own that. If you go down the alley, just right behind Emerson and Putney's, we own all that on the west and the east side. It's like an L. Yeah, because we, again, we came back and purchased the ABC Music Building. We didn't have that one, but we did. So that takes us up to the alley on the east side. We just don't control the condo or Emerson's.
And the city doesn't have any desire to retain the west side of the alley? In other words, your RFQ would include...
It would be for all of it, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
The only thing, again, we might be interested in doing is the east, where ABC Music and then Kiki's and Runaway Arts and Craft, possibly carving that out if it doesn't come in as part of a development agreement. If there's no affordable housing proposed through using the bigger sites, we might want to have that be for affordable housing. Because we want some affordable housing.
Yeah.
It would just be great if whoever proposes includes that in what they want to do. But don't know, want to leave that to the development community.
Yeah, sure. One last thing that I'll say, I get so excited about twinkling lights downtown. And I know that sounds corny coming from me, but I love it. Any kind of twinkling light or Christmassy bear or anything like that, I'm all about it. So happy to hear that as well.
Well, again, thank you so much for your interest in downtown. I look forward to Tori coming in doing what I'm doing with the Downtown Advisory Board and keeping us up to date on all the exciting things that you guys have going on, too.
Sheree, thank you very much. If there's not any other questions or comments, always a pleasure to see you and pleasure to have you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sheree.
You're welcome.
Tori, you started giggling there. What tickled you?
Well, I just know Sheree. She's saying she took the time, so she's said it a couple of times where I'm going to be going to DAB. So her coming on to talk to you guys cemented me going to them. That's big to her group.
Well, so I'm excited for you to look forward to it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's good.
So with that, Tori, it looks like you're up for updating the group on current projects.
Yeah. Okay, so just really quickly, the Our Salem, the comprehensive plan zone change effort, I'm not going to go into the details of the planning exercise that's been going, 3 years now, Jeff? It went through Planning Commission, they approved it, it'll go to council, so the first reading will be May 23rd, this is an update. So they anticipate the final review and consideration in June. So that's moving along.
Would that be final, Tori?
Yeah, it should be final in June. Unless, with Planning Commission, that went from 2 meetings to, I think, 4. So it's possible the council, they might want to deliberate on things. They might keep it open and discuss or deliberate. So it could be that it's more than the 2 meetings. Right now, planning's when I've spoken with the planning group, they anticipated only being the 2 meetings. I think, with the planning commission process, a lot of details, additional information got pushed out. So that might be sufficient for them to just move forward with it in these next 2 meetings.
And then just on the technical side, what does it take for that to get implemented? Is that the MSA's implementation, or does that follow council's action?
So, yeah, we'll follow council. I mean, they've been developing it, the details. They might have still some additional work to finalize it, So it might not be adopted, you know, if it gets approved in June as it is. They might have to finish a few things. I know that it's, I think, pretty close to being final, so I don't know that it'd be too much more work. So I'd have to check the plan to see, you know, if it is supported in June, when it will be actually kind of adopted and seen by property owners and have the, you know, the code and everything live on the website, that kind of thing. I could check on what the next steps would be following that.
Okay. So Jeff, Sam, what do you think?
What do I think about it?
Yeah. We're so much around that you can pop in on this.
Sorry, I can't bring it. I'm so sorry.
Actually, I'm really excited for this thing to get over with and to be on forever. And really happy to see it get done, frankly. And I hope it is done by June. From my perspective, from a commercial real estate side, there are tons of people that are kind of waiting in the wings to either move forward on a project or to finally list their property because they know exactly what to be done with it. There's still quite a few things that are up in the air now. I think people are more excited about the fact that it's coming to an end in June, but my understanding, I'm talking with Eunice and maybe Victoria, I understood that. What if it has final meeting and accepted in June, it takes 30 days from that point to actually be locked in, which would mean it would be more like a July, early August kind of deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Mark, for the question.
I'm going to share on the Urban Land Institute piece. Sheree mentioned this, and so this is probably something I'll update the downtown group with them. Bear with me while I pick my thing here. All right, can everybody see that? So really quickly, last year, I want to say it was late in the summer of last year, July or August. I want to be in July, so it's probably August. Came through with a proposal for the board to consider, that let's say the Development Advisory Board, to consider funding about $25,000 to have the Urban Land Institute technical panel take a look at West Salem. So as far as background, the urban renewal plan, all you guys are familiar with that, and so as soon as you become a new member, you get either, depending how many you are to the board, it used to be a physical packet, now it's this electronic book that we share with the group. So the urban renewal plan is really the guiding goals and objectives for the funding of projects in the urban renewal area. After completing projects, we wanted another view, market analysis, and an action plan, basically, to look at next priority projects. And what came out of that are the things we're working on now. So what I'm showing you on the screen is the zone change that was completed in 2018. This used to be, especially on the east side of Wallace, where you see the West Salem Central Business District zone, all kind of purple now. And it used to be a whole slew of different colors, different zones, industrial and other things. So our cleanup effort removed overlays, consolidated these areas to single zone. And since that's been adopted, we move forward with the design of Second Street. We're probably at 70% design now. It should be done with the design later this year, so we can start construction about this time next year. So with these things moving, with the zoning code changes that were implemented in 2018 and Second Street coming through, it was an opportunity to engage the technical season panel, get a kind of a different view of what redevelopment could look like based on these changes that this group has helped, you know, in your decision making and your feedback shape to this point. So what we'll do with this group is, when you have these technical assistance panels, it's this one's Northwest specifically, so it could pull development experts, finance, engineering, architecture, planning backgrounds into a panel, and they'll review the background history and provide some concepts on what could happen. So Sheree mentioned that she was excited about it. They did a similar design for downtown. So the technical assistance panel came in. What you're looking at here is the Bridge to the Minto downtown area, so Commercial Street. So this is something they laid out as far as what redevelopment would look like for downtown. I mean, it's shaped out a little differently, but it gives you some ideas. They'll come in kind of high level and suggest, you know, you could do these changes to the area, or you could anticipate this type of redevelopment. So that's, you know, it really gets a lot of people talking in that space. You know, hopefully this will get developers and, you know, community people around Second Street and West Salem area excited, and, you know, we can get, move forward with Second Street. We already have people, developers interested in developing some of the old industrial buildings along Second Street. So the hope is that, you know, the zone change to Second Street and some, you know, outside perspective, just some suggestions might get some thought going and consideration on, you know, what could potentially happen on West Salem area. So this is something that we discussed, again, late last year with our Salem and other things happening. There were a lot of plans and surveys and proposals, council changes. So the preference was to hold off on the bringing the urban miners to panel funding to the Urban Renewal Board until April this year. So that's why there was a little bit of a gap there. So was that enough background information for you guys that are new? So basically what that means is with this assistance panel, you guys supported it last year, and the agency board supported it this in April. So we'll start with that in June. Any questions on what that means? And
when would we expect a deliverable?
So this will be about a 4-month process. So we'll start in June, and there'll be stakeholder interviews. And that's something for this group as well. I think it would be a good idea to have 2 members. So I'll push it to you guys to, you know, if you want the chair and vice chair to be on that, or if you guys want to pick 2 others for that, like stakeholder interviews and any other interaction or questions that this technical advisory board assistant panel would like to pose to the group, rather than give it to the entire group. It would be nice, and, you know, basically if there's a communication with the whole advisory board that's on the meeting. So ideally, if we could pick 2 people, where those questions could be directed, or as far as like interviews could be had, that would be ideal. So deliverable should be 4 months. So we're looking at September, potentially early October. What are your guys' thoughts on selecting 2 members? Right now, Mark and Jeff, are you guys okay with it, or does the group prefer to pick 2 others?
I'm happy to, but we have a group here that should voice opinion.
I'm good with Jeff and Mark, but again, I would be more than happy to contribute. Mm-hmm. If one of them isn't available, Jeff isn't available.
Yeah, and I would say the same for myself too.
Okay.
Jason, what are your thoughts? Sometimes you like get involved in that sort of thing as well.
My plate's pretty full right now, so I will sit back as an observer, but would still love to be updated in the process.
Definitely. Yeah, so this will definitely be you guys supported it. This is funded through a renewal, so you will know everything about it. It's just, like I said, with those interviews, and if there are additional information sought by this group, it'd be nice to have a couple from the advisory board identified to be able to direct those questions to. All right, so we'll just plan on Jeff and Mark, and then we'll have, Tom and Samantha as backup.
Perfect.
as far as Samantha has brought up a few times, the like a gateway sign of some sort. So there's a couple of things that I'm working on as far as what a West Salem district sign could look like. I've identified a few different locations with ODOT. No matter where we want to put it, if it's going to be a gateway, even Rosemont, I mean, ODOT controls most of that land out there because it's so close to 22 and the ramps that go to 22. So it's a constant communication with ODOT. And so the next step would be to get a concept together. And so internally, it's one of those things where it's, I mean, ideally it'd be good to put it to some kind of like a design consultant, but it's such a small concept. You know, I could probably put something together myself that shows the size and what it could look like. That's really kind of the next thing that ODOT needs to, yeah, I gave them general dimensions as far as, you know, if it's like 4 feet tall, 6 feet wide, or 8 feet wide, you know, kind of monument sign style look. But
billboards,
they're engineers. What's that?
Lit up, billboard.
Billboard style. You could do.
Well, yeah, right. Look at the twinkly lights for Jeff.
Yeah. Well, we're Second Street will have, I think so far Second Street's looking pretty good. We'll have all the things that, that was my next update, so I'll talk about that in a second. But as far as the sign, yeah, I don't think, the less distraction from what I hear from ODOT, the better. So it's funny, when I propose locations, they're like, you know, so if you're coming off Rosemont, onto into West Salem, right? I was looking at different locations there, and they're like, you know, just that in and of itself, it can't be anywhere in view. Even though we want it in view, so people can say, you know, welcome to West Salem, West Salem District, the city of Salem, or whatever it says. They find it distracting, and it will cause accidents. So it's this constant. I get it from their perspective. They're trying to minimize things that come back to them as far as like number of instances or. You know, just statistics in general, but
let's just be different. Let's get rowdy with some twin ladies.
Yeah, make it as big as possible. But, you know,
Mark,
they create a lot of distraction.
Making rejecting that, that's really sweet of you.
So, yeah, so for them, they need to see something like more of a concept. Me describing them what it could look like, I mean, they want to see it. We want actual plans. So I need to get to a level of, you know, what something could look like so that they could actually make a definitive response to that. So I think the next step would be either internally we figure out and I run past you guys, like, what does this look like as a concept that I could take an ODOT for there to see if anything like this would work from a safety perspective and location. And again, it would just be a concept. That's something I could probably put together. And then if we get to a point where ODOT supportive and you guys have a general sense of like support for what it could be, that we'd engage the broader public and, you know, hire a consultant, someone who does like, you know, gateway features, signs, you know, we'd have to actually do it, like have someone draft something up for real. So that's kind of the process. I'm kind of stuck at that, drawing something up myself and submitting it to ODOT for consideration and locations and having you guys review it for like making sure that it's going in the right direction. So that'll probably be the next step when we talk about it again, is for me to bring something like that to see if it's what you had in mind, what the other changes.
Just a quick thought, Tori. Maybe everyone on the board should put their drawing skills to the test and
That's a good idea.
I am being quite sarcastic because all you're going to get out of me is two sticks and a sign that won't look very great. Yeah.
I think that'd be a good idea, actually, to have, you know, because what that's something that I think of as like a gateway sign. We've seen as you come off into Salem, the city of Salem, I think I've shared that with the group. I mean, obviously, if you drive into, you have to come from McMinnville or, you know, to the north, West Salem, as you're coming into West Salem from Wallace, there's that kind of land. Big city of Salem sign. So that's a whole different battle. It's internally I've already been discussing, you know, how can we move away from like just the standard city of Salem, because we want it to be you know, you're entering the West Salem district of the city of Salem. So that's kind of the direction that I'm taking it, but I'd love to see what your guys' thoughts, you know, if it says something like that, and what it could look like. You know, if you want to email it to me, what I could do then is kind of put my ideas together, you guys, I mean, your ideas, and one of the next meetings, I don't know, we could talk about maybe August or September, we could review that stuff and prepare something for OGA to look at. Yeah, yeah, maybe just send it over to me and I'll pull things together, we can talk about it in another meeting. So, on Second Street, just, I mentioned it in the slides that I showed for the zone changes. We're looking at designing Second Street, it'll go through to Wallace, there's a section of street that doesn't exist there, and we're about 70% designed right now. It's really starting to take shape, to the point that Sheree made, that she doesn't have the electrical infrastructure to support a lot of things that the community wants to see, so hopefully with the streetscape effort, and that's exactly what we wanted with, is, so we're preparing to have the conduit, so, you know, we'll do what we can to have, like, light fixtures, they'll have their own power supplies, so you can have, like, hookup, but if there's a point where we need additional capacity, because there's been, I still get emails about either a festival street or some kind of like a section of Second Street that could be shut down for like evening activity or something like that. So I pose to the group, like engineers and our consultants that we have, you know, hookups for food trucks. You know, if you have like an evening activity where you have a section of Second Street shut down and you have like designated lights for, you know, if you wanted to string overhead lights or if you had like your Christmas lights up or something like that, it'd have to be, you know, I guess they'd take a lot of power. So that would be something, you know, maybe not in this effort of like putting it in Second Street, like right away, because we don't know if there's a demand for food trucks, but having the conduit in place. So we have all these different conduits. So if it, you know, redevelopment happens and you have a lot more demand, or maybe there's enough demand now where, you know, when Second Street's built, there's sections that are shut down and a lot of people come out, and there's this interest by the community at that point to have additional food services, that we could run the lines in the conduit that we built into Second Street and have electrical supply to support additional capacity if that's something that the community wants to have. So we're doing what we can to, and if anybody again has suggestions on what you'd like to see, you know, aside from the obvious, you know, we'll have water in place to water the landscaping that will be there, and then we'll have the ornamental lighting and the capacity to support like you know, the banners and also Christmas lights, light fixtures. When you think about activities in the street, festivals, activities, things like that, what do you want to see that could be, you know, require additional electrical capacity or something? You could, you know, email me that as well. I suggested the food trucks, if something like that, you know, there were that interest, how could that be supported? But if I'm missing something, if you want to see something else out there, let me know so I can, you know.
Yeah, Tori, hey, I'm curious, was there a study done on the traffic load that Second Street can currently handle as a bypass to Edgewater if Edgewater gets shut down? And then in addition, once the project is completed and you can take Second all the way directly through to Wallace, what's the traffic study there? And if for some reason Edgewater is shut down, because currently right now in 22, if 22 for any reason traffic is diverted off of there, it generally goes right on to Edgewater if possible, and then kind of reconnects if that section of 22 on the west side gets shut down. But I'm just kind of curious as to Is Second Street going to be prepared to handle that if both 22 and Edgewater were unavailable? And you need to move out of 22 off of Rosemont, and then up to Second, and then straight over to Wallace and back. And so I'm curious to know what it is currently now with the current road structure, and then what it will be once the project, the Second Street completion happens.
Yeah, so we do have a traffic engineer. So we do have the study that we don't anticipate a lot of traffic on there. It's going to be local. So it's just simple two-lane road. I don't know that they anticipated a diversion of 22 and Edgewater at the same time. I think, like you said, you know, Edgewater has a lot of that. If there's a lane shut down on 22, people will exit, take Edgewater.
Right, and then also if Edgewater is shut down for some reason, yeah, that would get, and not 22, then that would get diverted to Second, potentially. So what does that look like for that business and residential community that exists currently on Second and then in the future? So I'm really interested for this advisory board to be aware of that study. I'm just curious.
So based on their analysis, they don't anticipate a lot of traffic on Second. So they'll keep it local. So really keeping it local too will minimize it as another thoroughfare for that. So if they were to take Second Street, it's going to be 20 miles to 25 miles an hour through there. So there will be people could probably choose that option. But if a lot of people choose it, it will be slow moving. There is, if it, the undercrossing of Wallace, if it were to extend to a Marine Drive, then that would change. Then it would be definitely a prime move. It'd still be too late. So we'll see additional traffic because people will be able to go from Edgewater, take Second Street, and get to the east side, and then alternative route. That's where you'd start to see a lot more traffic. But with it terminating the walls right now, all you'll be able to do is turn right on walls. So it's pretty limited in what it can do. And that's why it connects a lot of this redevelopment area, but also could serve as that, you know, there's a lot of new activity in Patterson. It could really be that, you know, if the community supports Marine Drive, council supports it, and, you know, there's financing to get Second Street connecting to Marine Drive, then you could see a lot different change. But that's going to be a lot of political decisions to make there, and the financing. It's going to be years to get to that point. So right now we're anticipating this could be, you know, the evening could serve as that kind of festival, or even, you know, depending on maybe on the weekends when it's lesser activity for, you know, the Thursday market where to shift to Saturday. This could be a location for that, given the anticipated volumes. Really don't expect a lot other than people accessing businesses and homes in that area. So we do have a traffic engineer. These same questions got posed when we had our public meetings, and by Councilor Stapleton raised the same thing, because there is a desire to keep it residential scale. Facilitate bike pit, and that's what we're doing with the project.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was just curious, not necessarily as a thoroughfare, but when accidents happen and diversion of traffic has to occur, if the traffic studies really emphasize or show the kind of timing backup and the amount of vehicle traffic that would be imposed on that particular more residential, slower, right? Because they do happen.
Yep.
They do happen.
Torrin, is Second Street is going to have a stop sign at Patterson, is it not?
I don't know that we've had. I have to check. I'm not sure.
I was curious, actually.
I should know. That's really four way. I don't know that we've gotten to that. I could ask Public Works Department to see. David Spade. I'm not sure at this point.
Okay. It's just curious, yeah.
Well, thanks, Tori.
Yeah. I can pose your question to you, and a lot of these questions have been shared as Scott Mentzer with BKS. He does all the work throughout Salem. And he's done all the traffic work that we've done for Cypress Street to the Marine Drive. So,
I wanted to chime in, Tori. I think that the food trucks, I think that's a good idea. I think that would bring, I don't know, community, but local businesses, especially with summer coming and, well, I guess how quickly would that happen?
So it'd probably be later. So with Second Street that we're designing now, we'll have the conduit place. It's expensive to get it set up up front. So I think what we talked about internally is setting it up to see if there's demand for it. So if Second Street's built and it does become, as the community has been interested in seeing, like this Festival Street idea, if it really starts to go in that direction, then we'll have the means in place to accommodate that. So I think right now we're, you know, this will be almost $10 million project. So we want to get it to the point where it's, so it'll be this, you know, it's kind of this neighborhood, and as you get towards Wallace, a little bit more downtown kind of feel, like a street feel with ornamental lights and things like that. So what we want to see is, rather than throw the money at it, and build it for anticipation of the food trucks and other demand being there, getting it built and then seen. So we'll have the means to be able to do it. It'll just require additional electrical infrastructure that we'd have to run through that provided conduit to make that happen.
Okay.
So it'll be later.
Yeah, future proofing it without making the full investment.
Yeah. Yep. And we have a few grants going, interested applicants. And we have one off Second Street where asbestos was found, and there's industrial space looking at reuse. And so we have a grant to remove the asbestos. And we have a few others considering redevelopment. So I'll let you know more as that gets a little bit more finalized. And then as far as next, I think the next topic you guys have on your agenda is the next meeting. So we'll have, I'll try to get somebody out from the technical advisory panel, the Urban Land Institute, to come and speak to the group for the June meeting. Also, add on there, because I think the group likes to hear from Polk County Commissioner. I think Lyle's come out in the past. So that's something after the next two meetings. We could probably, depending on the timing for the Urban Lands to person, ideally it would be June, since we'll be kicking off in June. But if the timing doesn't work out, those two things could switch. That's pretty much all I have.
Thank you, Tori. I'm always in favor of kind of echoing Mark and Samantha's comments. Having that infrastructure in for future needs as opposed to not having it, so that would be something of interest to me as well. Regardless of if it's a food truck or anything, just having that future need is always smart and prepared. So that said, we're kind of at the end of the agenda, but it's always good to touch base with everyone regarding the neighborhood association and the business association, and with that, Jason, would you mind just jumping in, maybe give us an update on the neighborhood association, and then maybe there's a partnership? I know you're involved on that part of it. You're muted.
Yeah. I have no updates for those organizations at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Sam, do you mind jumping in and giving a quick update on the business association? That's correct. so far is the most compelling updates we've had ever on this group, of this group for being three of those organizations.
I'm so sorry. I have three screens, and so getting my mouse down to unmute it. So can you guys hear me okay? Okay. So we're doing our third annual golf tournament. So that has been in the works. We've almost filled all of our sponsor slots. Very exciting. It's for July 29th. Would love to see some of your guys' faces down there. We have some room for teams. If you want more information, please reach out to me directly. Had a really good March and April turnout. On our general meeting, we had some candidates come and speak. A lot of political individuals. It was just a really great opportunity for us. And then for our May meeting, we're having Chief Womack. So if you guys want to invite or just show up at Ross, you don't have to be a member to be present at some of those meetings. So I would love to see, again, your guys' faces. And then I think that's all I have. Jason, morning greeters. Just let me know if you're still interested, or if anyone's interested, again, please reach out to me. We have slots, and West Salem Business Association will basically pay and do the advertisement for your business, pay for refreshments, so on and so forth. So yeah, some really great things happening.
Jason, will you chime in there?
Yeah, I'll get in touch. I still do want to do that. Thank you.
Yeah, you betcha. Mark, would love to post something at your place too.
We're not really set up for that, but thanks for the consideration.
Yeah, well, we can use Jeff's house for the get together.
I don't know where that's going. Oh, boy.
Moving on.
The meeting has gotten off the rails. Okay, well, with that, I just want to say also thank you for everyone getting up this morning and participating in this meeting and listening to what's going on in the neighborhood. I do have a quick question, Samantha. When you guys are considering where to do the golf tournament, I have noticed that it was at Salem Golf Club. Is there ever any consideration for the one that's out west?
There has been prior to us deciding on this location, we reached out to the local, and it was just time-wise and the cost and connection, it just made more sense.
Yeah,
but yes, we did, definitely.
Yeah, that's right. Either way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're saying
something. I got you off. Oh, no, you're good. Nope, that was it.
Well, with that, we're at the end of the agenda, unless there's anything for the good of the order. We can adjourn perhaps a little early today, unless there's something else someone would like to add. No? All right, well, with that, again, thank you all for participating in the meeting, and I look forward to seeing you guys next month.
Awesome. Good to see everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Thank you.
Have a great day.